Psalm 32. I have enjoyed these psalms for the summer, and as we come to July, you see in your bulletin where we'll be going the next few weeks. Psalm 32 is the fourth psalm we have looked at, and it's a psalm of penitence. There are only seven psalms out of 150 that are penitent psalms. You're probably familiar with at least portions of Psalm 32, often during the season of Lent. And on Ash Wednesday, we've used Psalm 32 and Psalm 51 for several years. Psalm 32, let me begin reading in verse 3 and 4. The psalmist said, "When I kept silent, my bones wasted away, though my groaning, through my groaning all day long, for day and night, your hand was heavy upon me, my strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. When I was silent, my sin, my bones wasted away, groaning all day long. It seemed your hand was heavy upon me night and day. My strength was sapped as in humid, hot Texas summer." The psalmist in Psalm 32 gives us such vivid words, and the image of those words is just engraved upon our mind. The psalmist is sharing from the depths, a heavy heart, guilt abounds, burden is breaking. It's a picture of the devastating effect of unconfessed sin. There's unrest in the psalmist's mind and body and soul. Let's be honest. Haven't we all been there? Haven't we all been there? Psalm 32, verse 3 and 4. We don't like to be that honest with ourselves, do we? We would like to think of someone else who's probably there. We want to look around and think, yes, they need to hear Psalm 32, and you're thinking of all those who need it, but today's sermon is not for anyone but you. Often when we reflect on sin, we look at who we can blame. We need to blame someone. Flip Wilson years ago said it was the devil made me do it. We want to blame, but the reality of sin, it's itself. It's your sin and my sin, and the psalmist calls us to own it. We're familiar with Paul's words, Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned." We read that real quickly, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." For all of us have sinned. 1 John 1:8, "If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." A moving passage gets left, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. "For who among us knows the thoughts within us, except our own spirit within?" Hear that again. Who among us knows the thoughts within us except our own spirit within? When I kept silent, the psalmist said, my sin. So what do we do? Perhaps we begin by simply waiting on God. "I will wait for you."
stand with us as we sing, I Will Wait For You.
Say in that anguish after waiting, hear verse 5. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Then reminds me of Psalm 13 that I shared the first week of June. Then changes everything. Yes, I was surrounded and overwhelmed in my sin. Yes, that wasting away, but then I acknowledge. To acknowledge is to admit that it's real and true. To acknowledge is to agree. In a commentary on the Psalms, Derek Kidner said this about the word acknowledge. To acknowledge implies making a statement reluctantly, often about something previously doubted or denied. I acknowledged reluctantly. I acknowledged, in other words, I confessed. I confess, the psalmist no longer tried to cover it up. The psalmist no longer wished to hide or play like it wasn't there, but acknowledged, confessed. The psalm uses three words, though I think they're all interchangeably. I acknowledge my sin. At kids camp, we define sin as when we miss the mark. Sin is when we fall short. Sin is when we choose our way rather than God's way. My sin, my iniquity, my deliberate disobedience to the known will and plan of God, that's a transgression. I acknowledge my sin, my iniquity, my transgression, and I confessed it. I owned it. I no longer covered it up. Confession is simply, maybe not simply, confession is honestly agreeing with God. Confession is not telling God something he doesn't already know. God, guess what? I need to confess to you my sin. Don't be shocked. He's not shocked. The heads on our hair are numbered. God knows you. God created you. And so when you confess, you're not surprising God one bit. And confession is not for God. Confession is for you. And I know there's a movement, and you see it often in churches today, where we need to get in these little groups, cell groups, home groups, whatever, and we have these accountabilities, and I know there's some scripture that alludes to that. But let me assure you that my confession need only go to God. I need no priest. I don't need anyone to hear. I really don't want others to hear. Now, if I've sinned against someone, I may need to go to them, that one, but I really don't need to go to you. I need to go to God. That's enough. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins to God, he is faithful and he is just and he will forgive our sins and purify us from all our unrighteousness. You know, sometimes I think in the Bible, when we hear a story, especially in the Old Testament, over and over, it becomes so familiar to us that we tend to forget the impact. And maybe that's the same as a song or a story, or especially Jesus' teachings. And Jesus taught in those wonderful parables. And for many of us, if we had to say our favorite parable, or the parable that we most maybe relate to, would be the parable of the lost coin, the lost sheep, and the lost son. Sometimes referred to as the parable of the prodigal son, but really it was God that was the prodigal. The son was just lost. You know it, Luke writes about it in Luke 15. You know, the boy, he wants his money, he takes the money, he leaves his father, he leaves his brother, he goes off, and he loses it all. King James Version said he lost it in loose living. And then he ends up in the pit, in the bottom, surrounded by swine. Luke 15, let me read it, verse 17. And suddenly, then he came to his senses, and he said, "Self, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and I will go back to my father, and I will say, Father, I've sinned against heaven and I've sinned against you. I am no longer even worthy to be called your son. Would you just make me like one of your hired servants?" So he got up and went to his father. You know the rest of the story. The father was standing waiting with arms open for his son. He got He didn't just stay there. He knew in his mind that his father would maybe receive, and so he got up. Perhaps at this morning, we need to get up and go to the Father in confession. Or perhaps better, we might should get down on bended knee with broken heart and confess our sin. My sin, my confession. I want you to pause for a few moments. We don't do silence very well in the Baptist church, but we should. I want you to pause a few moments of silent prayers, of individual confessions, where you sit. Bended head, bowed head. You're welcome to come to the altar, to the front, if you desire. This is your time. Several minutes of silent prayers of confession. And after several minutes, I'll ask you to join me on the screen. At that time will be a prayer that we'll say responsively together as our community, a prayer of confession. So let us pray. Now would you join me as we say this prayer of confession, a prayer of confession that we offer to God. Join me responsively. Merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart and mind and strength. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been. Help us amend what we are and direct what we shall be, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. I am so grateful that we do not have to stay with our sin, our groaning, that we do not even have to continue in confession wondering what will happen. But the Psalm 32 takes us back. Really, it begins with the promise. Blessed is the one. The psalmist says in verse 1, blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit is no deceit. What a way to begin the psalm. Yes, we began in verses 3 and 4 and 5, but the psalmist began with these wonderful words, happy. When I read that in my translation, most of them said happy is, and I thought that's kind of cheesy. That doesn't seem right. Happy, but happy is right. Happy, joyful, gleeful. Yes, indeed. blessed. Psalm number 1 begins with, blessed is the man. The Beatitudes, Matthew 5, blessed, blessed. Yes, blessed. Why? Why are we blessed, and why was the psalmist blessed? Because his transgressions were forgiven. His sin and iniquity was lifted. The burden of sin was removed. God covered it all. You know, we like to cover our sin. We like to cover it and think we're hiding it from others and even from God. But God's covering is once and for all. God covered it. The sin is no longer present. The sin that the psalmist had, that his bones wasted away, the sin is now unresolved. It is now open. It is now gone. It is covered. It is gone. The psalmist said in Psalm 103, verse 12, for as far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed our transgressions from us. From everlasting to everlasting, sins are gone. When sins are confessed, He is faithful and He is just to forgive and cleanse all our unrighteousness. Verse 2, blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against him. They're gone. I've had, in my long life, from age 16 on, I've had a few traffic tickets. That's a lot of years, and I've had a few. Aria's had more. She had 3 in 1 week, but we're not talking. So I've had some of those few traffic tickets, and each time I have, I wish I'd have known George Chandler or Kurt Finley or someone to get me out of it, but I never did. So I went to defensive driving. You know, that's about as close to Sheol as you can get. Defensive driving is not good. I don't care if it's at the barbecue place or if it's at CC's Pizza or the worst one is I went to a comedy defensive driving. That was the longest 6 hours in my entire life. Defensive driving, it's not of God. It is not good. But they tell you, if you endure it, and you endure it, that they sign that piece of paper, and then you take it, and you pay that terrible fee. You're still getting stuck paying the money, but it's supposed to be less, and you pay it. And supposedly, that traffic violation is gone. It's gone. No one ever tells Jay Jackson that, but it's gone. It's gone, but I don't trust it. I believe that somewhere in the files in Malakoff, Texas, my traffic ticket is still there. That somewhere on the desk of some deputy in Cossey, Texas, my ticket from that Baylor game when we got smeared is there. That somewhere in Lufkin, Texas, when I went through that little traffic, that ticket is there. Defensive driving said it's not, but I think it's a lie. It's there. It is there. Everything is still there. But the psalmist said, not your sin, unless it's a traffic sin. Not your sin. Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. The sin the Lord does not count gone. This sermon should have 4 points because verse 11 is, rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous, sing all of you who are upright in heart. The psalmist ends saying, rejoice, be glad, and sing. What a benediction. This sinner like us, this sinner who was separated from God by his own iniquity, his own transgressions, this sinner has confessed his sin, no longer hid it from God, gave it to God, and God totally cleansed and brought forgiveness. No longer an unrighteous sinner, but a righteous. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad. Verse 11, you righteous, redeemed. The psalmist can't help but offer his song. His response, he broke out in song. My response, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. I once was blind, but now I see. My response, my song, I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more, but the master of the sea heard my despairing cry from the waters, lifted me, forgave me. Now safe am I. We're going to all sing. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner, condemned unclean. He took my sin and he took my sorrows. He made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary. He suffered and died alone. When with the ransom in glory, his face I at last shall see, that'll be joy through the ages to sing of his love for me. Oh, how marvelous. Oh, how wonderful. And my song shall ever be. How wonderful. How marvelous is our Savior's love, forgiveness. We can't help but sing. Would you stand?